कर्मणा मंगल मंगलाना
कर्मणा मंगल मंगलाना
लोकं तमसे स्वपरं
वा तत्तु तलोकं तमसे स्वपरं
वा मंगलानां च तमिष्णं कल्पनम्
अमंगलानां च तमिष्णं कल्पनम्
विपर्यय तेन तदेव पश्यति
विपर्यय तेन तदेव पश्यति
From your lordship, Karmana, prescribed duties. Mangala, most auspicious. Mangalana, of the auspicious. Kartu,
the performer.
Svalokam, respective higher planetary system.
Anushay,
expand. Sva, heavenly planet. Param, transcendental world. Mangalana, of the inauspicious,
Cha,
and
Tamisram,
name of a particular hell,
Ubunam,
ghastly,
Viparyaya,
opposite, Kena,
why?
Tadeva, certainly that,
Kasichit,
for someone. Translation, O most auspicious Lord, you have ordained the heavenly planet, the spiritual Vaikuntha planet, and the impersonal Brahman sphere as the respective destinations for the performers of auspicious activities. Similarly, for others who are miscreants, you have destined different kinds of hells, which are horrible and ghastly. Yet sometimes it is found that the destinations are just opposite. It is difficult to ascertain the cause of this. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called the Supreme Will. It is here. It is by the Supreme Will that everything is happening. It is said, therefore, that not a blade of grass moves without the Supreme Will. Generally, it is prescribed that the performance of pious activities are promoted to the higher planetary systems. Devotees are promoted to the Vaikuntha, or spiritual worlds. And impersonal speculators are promoted to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Sometimes so happens that a miscreant like Ajamil is immediately promoted to the Vaikuntha Loka simply by chanting the name of Narayana. Although when Ajamil uttered this vibration, he intended to call his son Narayana, Lord Narayana took it seriously and really gave him promotion to the Vaikuntha Loka, despite his background, which is full of sinful activities. Similarly, King Daksha was always engaged in the pious activities, performing sacrifices just simply because of creating a little misunderstanding with Lord Shiva, he was severely taken to task. The conclusion is, therefore, that the Supreme Will is the ultimate judgment. No one can argue on this. A pure devotee, therefore, submits in all circumstances to the Supreme Will of the Lord, accepting him as all auspicious. Bunjana eva makratam pakam. Hidvagva purvir vidhidhan namaste javeti yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. The purport of this verse is that when a devotee is in a calamitous condition, he takes it as a benediction of the Supreme Lord and takes responsibility himself for his past and his deeds. In such a condition, he offers still more devotional service and is not disturbed. One who lives in such a disposition of mind engaged in devotional service is the most eligible candidate for promotion to the spiritual world. In other words, such a devotee's claim for promotion to the spiritual world is assured in all circumstances. Translation, O most auspicious Lord, you have ordained the heavenly planet, spiritual, Vaikuntha planets, and the impersonal Brahman sphere as the respective destinations and performers of auspicious activities. Similarly, for others who are miscreants, you have destined different kinds of hells which are horrible and ghastly. But sometimes it is found that their destinations are just the opposite. It is very difficult to ascertain the cause of this. So, as I mentioned yesterday, these verses actually apply to Vishnu, not to Shiva. But here, Brahma is addressing Shiva in this way. But we can take it, actually this applies to Vishnu, not Shiva, because it is not Shiva who awards even Svargaloka or impersonal liberation or Vaikuntha. This is under Vishnu ultimately, not Shiva. Nevertheless, Brahma is praising Lord Shiva in this way. If we apply this to Krishna or Vishnu, then of course there is no problem. So the statement here is that the Supreme Lord awards different planets or places to the Supreme, or to the persons who practice. So he says, Svalokam Spa Haram Va. Different rewards are there for different types of people. So this is in response to the different types of activities they do. If one is qualified for Svargaloka, one goes there. If one is qualified for impersonal liberation, one goes there. If one is qualified for Vaikuntha, one goes there. So, different places are, it's not surprising and it's quite logical that someone who is qualified for Svarga goes to Svarga. And this is the rule. Those who do karma yoga or whatever, dharma, they go to Svargaloka or Brahmaloka. And that is the limit. Those who do jnana get Brahman. Those who do bhakti go to the Supreme Lord, Svaloka, the planet of the Lord. By these different activities, you get the results. So if one does karma and goes to Vaikuntha, or one does jnana and goes to Svargaloka instead, then no one would, everyone would be confused. They would do a certain activity, expect a result, and get a different result. So it is quite proper that according to the process, one gets a specific goal and not something else. And similarly, if one does simple activities or opposite the scripture activities, which are opposite the scripture or amangala activities, then one goes to hellish places, Tamisra, hellish planets of various sorts. But here Brahma says, but we get opposite results. Some people get opposite results. How is that possible? So how is it possible by doing bhakti you go to hell, for instance? Or by doing karma as you go to Vaikuntha? So it doesn't seem possible ultimately. It may apparently be like that, but you cannot ultimately say so. So if we take the case of Daksha, so he did karma, so he should go to Svargaloka, instead he got killed and got a goat's head ultimately. So how is that possible? It looks like contradiction. If we examine closely, we'll see no, it's not a contradiction. Okay? So he did karma, definitely, but actually he did not follow the rules properly because he didn't give the share to Shiva. So he didn't follow properly, actually. So, particularly in karma, we will see if one makes a little mistake, one can get very serious results, which are not what one intends. A small mistake leads to a big problem in karma. So that is the nature of karma. We cannot say that the results are wrong. They did not follow properly, so therefore they get bad results. The same with jnana. If one makes a mistake, one may not get liberation. when they do extreme austerities and studies and whatever to get liberation. And then when they not get liberation, so when they wonder why the person didn't get liberation after so much effort, if they make a mistake, impossible. The nature of these processes is such that small mistakes sometimes give very bad results. In the process of bhakti, it is a little different, because Krishna says, even if you're the most sinful person, you're still my devotee. And I always protect my devotee, whether there's sin or not. It may look like, well, one has to be perfect, and then by perfection go to the Vaikuntha or spiritual world. That is generally the case, yes. But we see opposite results also, because Putana went to the spiritual world. Agasura went to the spiritual world, so how is it possible that we get cases like that? Or here's the case of Ajamil. He also went to the spiritual world, though apparently he was most fallen and sinful. So we'll see cases like that. Or we have the case of Margari the hunter, who was killing animals, and then he got the mercy of Narada, and then he became a great devotee of the Lord also. So it looks like opposite results. But no, it is the nature of the process itself. Why? Because Krishna is in charge of that process. So the results are generally predictable in bhakti, but the Lord may also do kripa. And then we get extraordinary results, as in the case of Putana or Agasura or whatever. That is not so in the case of karma and jnana. There's no unpredictable results like that. Krishna's not going to give extraordinary mercy to the karmis and the jnanis. Therefore, they have to do their own efforts and do everything perfectly. And even if one makes mistakes in bhakti, it does not create the same problems as the mistakes in karma and jnana and yoga. Therefore, Bhagavatam says that even if a person does not reach perfection, there is no loss for that person. And Krishna says even if a person falls down, that is not a problem also. So mistakes may be made in bhakti still. We can predict the final result. So it is much different from the other processes, in spite of the apparent contradictions that appear there. So there are apparent contradictions, but actually if we look closely, we will see that actually there isn't. Everything is done properly. Different processes give different types of results under different circumstances, that's all. And there's no contradiction there because of the nature of the processes. Ultimately, all this is considered to be very just. Just as the rules of karma are very just. We cannot criticize those rules. So they've been produced by the Supreme Lord for a certain purpose, and they're implemented by the devatas, etc. So, we should not criticize the implementation of all these different rules or the different processes or the law of karma, though there may look like apparent opposite results or whatever. Ultimately, the processes operate according to very specific rules. Though it may look as if opposite results are given, we cannot really say that. We have to examine very closely. The lesson to learn, however, is that in these processes of karma, jnana, and yoga, one has to be very, very careful, because little mistakes have very detrimental results. Of course, in bhakti, we should not say, therefore, you don't have to be careful, you can be very sloppy in your service and you get results. Yes, you do. You still get results. But if we want to attain final result, then we do have to be very careful. If we want to get highest perfection, we have to be careful. Therefore, we cannot mix the bhakti. We have to have pure bhakti instead of mixed bhakti. Otherwise, we get different results. And in that mixed bhakti again, one has, are they pure bhakti? One has to be careful of certain things like committing offenses, etc. So we have to be very, very careful. But in any case, the Lord is the protector of the devotee. So this is the very special advantage of bhakti. So the mercy of the Lord is available there for the devotees. So even if the devotee does have problems, still the mercy of the Lord is there to help the devotee in all cases. So the devotee at his part, in any circumstances, he never loses that conviction in the Supreme Lord. So there may appear to be opposite results. We're supposed to progress, and he may experience a lot of difficulties. So the devotee does not take those difficulties as a sign that Krishna is not merciful or the process doesn't work. He understands instead that the difficulties are there because of his particular way of executing the process, or because of his previous mistakes. So he takes responsibility for his activities, and is not too concerned about the results of papa and punya. He will tolerate the bad effects that are given to him, and continue his devotional service without interruption. So that is the nature of the devotee. So his conviction is that opposite results are not given. Rather, the opposite. The Lord is true to his promise, and he will always deliver the devotee. So that is the faith of the devotee. And therefore he continues the process in spite of all sorts of obstacles in his way. And this attitude that produces a very good result. The Lord himself becomes more inclined towards that devotee and helps him. So therefore, the devotee is called Daya Ba, one who can claim the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord becomes very merciful to that particular person because he tolerates everything and does not lose his faith in the process in spite of all obstacles. So therefore, the what apparently looks like opposite results, for the devotee, he doesn't mind that. He understands this is all insignificant, and he simply keeps performing the process. Favorable circumstances for bhakti also, and some places are more favorable, some are less favorable, whatever. Nevertheless, also the devotee has to understand, especially the neophyte devotees, they have to understand that part of their problem may be simply the mind, and they may have certain expectations or whatever due to their immaturity, over expectations, you could say. And due to that, therefore, they become restless and they're looking for this circumstance or that circumstance, whatever. So, that devotee has to be careful of that, of course. Ultimately, of course, some places are more favorable, some are unfavorable, whatever. Therefore, in scripture it says, go and live in the Dham, whatever like that, which means somewhere which is very spiritual. Nevertheless, people do live in other places as well, so we have to be flexible to some degree also. What he called Narayan, he was calling his son.
Yeah, he's calling his son.
It still has effect.
Yeah.
Accidental effect. That's called Namabhas.
But he was not devotee.
No. It has effect. So if anybody hears the name of Krishna or Vishnu or Narayan, it has effect even if they're not devotees. As long as they don't commit apparat.
In material nature, somebody is keeping their son
names. Yeah, good. Good effect. Like Ajamil.
Yeah.
Good effect.
But if they
No, no, no. Ajamil did not go to Vaikuntha. He got more lifespan, that's all.
Yeah,
they get good effect. No hellish punishment, whatever. So everybody should name their children after Krishna. Then they don't have to go to hell. Provided they don't commit offense. So that is the power of Namabhas. Even Namabhas can destroy all karma.
So that mentioning name is helpful, right? but
Not bad.